Shalom.
Shalom.
Oh, that was a weak shalom.
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 All right. Great. Isn't it great to have the peace of God that passes all understanding to guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus?
Amen.
And you know when that peace first began? Right there at the cross. When Jesus Christ, through his sacrifice, our Lord and Savior, purchased that peace with God in heaven. Aren't you glad? Yes. Well, we've traveled some distance together so far, haven't we? Where we can encourage each other to contend for the faith that was once and for all delivered unto the saints. The saints. Term you probably don't apply to yourself that frequently or to others. Believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and those who will yet believe in Jesus. We all must contend for that faith. That gospel faith. That gift. That God-given gift of faith. Like Paul says, for by grace through faith we are saved. By grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, that faith is like a hand reaching up to receive the saving grace of God in his Son, Jesus Christ. We must contend for that for many reasons. And if you would just open up my letter to you. Certainly there are false prophets, false teachers. But it's that gospel faith that you and I, as we contend for, we are again reminded and refreshed by the Holy Spirit to dare to, with confidence, take those promises that God has given to us in his Son, Jesus Christ. They are precious, as Peter tells us. They really are. To contend for that faith that was once and for all delivered to us, the church, the body of Christ. Because we have an adversary. You know that, don't you? We have an adversary. His name is the devil. And he seeks to corrupt that gospel faith. He also seeks to cause those to fall away into apostasy. This has been a very special time that we've been together to encourage each other to contend for that faith. That's why I said last week that I would like to share with you the blessing that God has in store for the body of Christ here on South Mountain. Please open that letter as we begin to come to a close of the letter that the Holy Spirit guided me to write to you and to all those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Just in reading that last section, yes, it's a benediction, but it's also a doxology, isn't it? Follow with me as I read. Now to him, that means to God, who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory, with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forevermore. Amen. A fitting Spirit-given closure to this letter of warning, yes, and a letter of encouragement, to understand why we are being warned and by whom we are being warned. Not certainly by me, but by the Holy Spirit who guided me to write this letter. But also from a loving Heavenly Father who does not want to see any of his children be so easily swayed by false teaching or fall into the possibility of apostasy. Well, let's begin with this closing portion of my letter. It's a blessing within a blessing. And I'll show you why. That very first beginning of that blessing, if you will, that doxology. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory. It reminds us of the power of God. You see, you and I don't have the power to save ourselves. It took the very power of God. It took the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, didn't it? It took the power of God's grace to intervene into your life and into my life with that saving work of Jesus Christ. For you and I are not able. We're not able to save ourselves, and therefore we are not able to keep ourselves. But God is. Aren't you glad? He is the only one who truly is able to save us and to keep us from stumbling, because he is God and we are not. He is the one who is omniscient. He knows everything about us and he still loves us. Aren't you glad? He is omniscient. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows everything. He knows how to keep us from stumbling. He's not only omniscient, but he's also omnipotent. He has the power to do just that, to intervene into your life and into my life with a saving, strengthening grace. He's also omnipresent. Remember that promise that God's given to you through the writer Joshua, where God spoke to Joshua, to God's people today too. So do not fear, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will help you, I will strengthen you, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. The same God who declared that promise to his people many generations ago is the same loving Heavenly Father that declares that promise of us keeping, strengthening grace in our lives today. He alone is able. Let me share with you a number of portions from God's word that speak mightily of that keeping power. And Jesus came and said to the disciples, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He has that omnipotent authority and power to keep us from harm, to keep us from stumbling. And then again, our dear brother Paul, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency and all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. God is able. He really is able. Because he himself has suffered when he was tempted, yet without sin, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Consequently, the writer says, he is able to save to the uttermost those who have drawn near to God. And again, our brother Paul, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than we ask or think, according to the power, his power that is working in us. Yes, our God is able. And that's why the Spirit of God so instructed me, so moved me to close with this doxology as we look at God's power to save us, as we look at God's power to keep us. And again, like our brother Paul says, that he is not in any way ashamed of the gospel. For he says, I know whom I have believed. And he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Yes, our God is able, more than able, to keep us from stumbling. We all have that tendency to draw away from God. We all have that possibility, that potential for listening to false doctrine, false teaching, and be led astray. Yes, I know. I know, beloved. We live in days, these last days, with great immorality. We all know that. We live in these days when there's so much in the way of false teaching, other gospels, other Christs. But God is able to keep us from stumbling and falling to that false doctrine teaching, to keep us. Do you see that in the letter before you? He is able to keep us. You know that word keep? It means to guard, to protect. In fact, it's the same word that is used in the Old Testament, in the Greek Old Testament, about how God keeps us like a shepherd, how a shepherd keeps his flock. Our God is able, more than able, to keep us from stumbling. Like he kept Noah. You know, our brother Peter speaks of this also in one of his letters. God kept Noah and his family from the judgment of that raging flood. But in that keeping, God also called Noah to build an ark, didn't he? You know this false teaching that you just let God in and let go and let God do all of it. We don't see that in Scripture, do you? You know, God said he was going to save Noah and his family, but he also instructed Noah to do that work of grace by building the temple. Oh, I don't mean that we can save ourselves. But God enabled Noah to build that ark, something he never built before. Think of that. But God is able to do that in our lives too. How does God keep you and I from stumbling? Well, as I shared in the letter, that you and I are diligent in building ourselves up in that holy, precious faith. That we are diligent to pray in the Holy Spirit. That we are diligent doing those things of grace that God has given us to do, to encourage each other. and to wait expectantly for our Savior. Yes, our God is able. But notice also in that closing of this letter, the promise of God. God is able to keep us from stumbling, but also the promise is to present you and me blameless before the presence of his glory. With great joy. Don't you like that? With great joy. You know, sir, I hear so many. And those who don't believe in Jesus Christ, rightly so, they have a fear of facing God after they die. They should have a fear. May that fear so drive them to repent and put their faith in Jesus Christ. But for the believer to fear, God has promised that he will present us blameless, spotless. You know what that reminds me of? There in the days of the Old Testament, when there were those who were not professing believers, they would bring their offering to the Lord, and they would have this beautiful white lamb. Oh, my word! But don't pet it. Oh, don't pet it. Because if you do, you'll find that there was some chalk covering over those little spots and blemishes. And yet they were saying to everybody else, I'm presenting to the Lord God a perfect lamb as a sacrifice for my sins. But it was blemished. The Lamb of God does not cover our sins, does he? The Lamb of God takes away our sins. And if the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, has taken away your sins and given you the gift of eternal life and a relationship with God now as your Heavenly Father, know that he has promised that he will present you before his glory with great joy. Joy for him, because it is joy to the Father that his children are coming home. It's precious in the heart and the mind of God. The death of his saints, because they are coming home. This is not our home, beloved. And he has promised that he will present us spotless, blameless, without fault, before him with great joy. Not only is it to be joy for him, and it will be, but it will be joy for you and I. Won't it? I'm home. I'm home, Father. Thank you. The joy of seeing God? Yes. The joy of seeing God face to face without any fear, without cringing, and saying, oh, no, no, no. But knowing that our Heavenly Father is there with open arms and all of his glory and all of his majesty to receive every child of his bought with the precious blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. Yes, our Father is able. See his power at work in your life, in the life of the church. But also our God has promised that he who has begun a good work in you, in me, will bring it to completion on the day of Jesus Christ. So that indeed we will be presented to him without spot or blemish, with great joy. Joy for our Father and our Savior. Joy for the Holy Spirit. And joy for you and I. Yes, to present us blameless. I know I have much. That God is working in my life. And I know that there's much in your life too that God is working. But you know, it's because of Jesus Christ that work is going on. You see, if you didn't know Jesus, that work would not be going on. But there's something else. Not only do we see in this closing doxology, led and instructed by the Holy Spirit, of God's power to keep us from stumbling, and God's promise to present us before him in his glory with all joy, but also we see the praise of our God. You know, if anything, that all of this should be so moving our hearts to praise our God. For he did it all. He did it all in his Son, Jesus Christ. Is it any wonder? Yes, it's a letter of warning. Yes, it's a letter of encouragement as well. It's a letter of instruction, but it's also to be a letter of praise. And beloved, this is where the blessing comes down from heaven upon his church here at South Mountain. As you and I live every day by the power of Christ within us, as we understand his promises and we claim those precious promises, like our brother Peter has said in one of his letters, and we see God at work, our hearts are moved to praise him. And just as we close this letter here, the praise of God. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now and forever. We praise him because he is God. Not some false God. Not some God that you and I can control. Because we can't. He is sovereign. He has all authority and power and majesty. But we praise him. He is worthy of our praises, isn't he? Worthy of your praise, my praise together. Do you realize? I'm sure you do. One of the resounding strengths of the church, the body of Christ, is that we here on earth can praise God with the saints in heaven. Think of that. It's never to be a morgue. It's never to be a funeral service. Never. God's people should rise up and praise the Lord with all joy. Because one day you and I will stand before him, perfect in Jesus Christ, with great joy. May your life and my life together reflect that joy right now. For it's in his power, it's in his promise, and to the praise of his glory. Don't you agree? Why are we so silent? Why? We praise him because he is God and he is worthy of all praise. We praise God for his attributes. Oh, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, I've written a number of them there. But for all of his attributes, for all that he is, for all that he does, for all that he is doing. And we praise him for his attributes. Not just the things that we receive from him. Oh, how many? How many just praise and thank God for the things they get? Instead of praising and thanking God for him, himself. I have done that too, beloved. Haven't you? We need to realize when we do that, we're just like the pagans. The pagans who have no God, but they think they have a God. And they praise their God and thank their God for the things they get, and they don't know God, the one true God. We praise him for his attributes. We praise him for his glory, his majesty, his dominion, his authority. To God be the glory. Isn't it great? When our hearts are moved in such a manner. We praise him for all eternity. Isn't that wonderful? We praise him for all eternity because he has given to us the gift of eternal life. We praise him both now and forevermore. And we will never stop praising him. Do you realize in eternity to come, every thought, every desire, every act will be a praise? A pure praise to God who enables all of that for his glory. Think of that. And those things that are praised in our lives here in this world and of the world, they're going to cease. Think of that also. But the things of God are eternal. And the eternal life that he gives us, we can enjoy as we praise him in every thought. Every desire, in every act. Would you agree with that? Then you must also agree that we can start that now. Every thought, every desire, and every act, both with God and with one another and with others, that our life is a life of praise right now. Right now. For all of eternity, think of the alternative. You see, the Lord tells us, Jesus tells us, there are going to be those on that last day that will say, Lord, Lord, look what we've done in your name. We've ministered. We've cast out demons. We've done all these things in your name. And what does the Lord Jesus Christ say to them? Depart from you who work iniquity. I never knew you. You see, it's only the man and the woman of God, the boy and girl of God, who knows Jesus Christ that can truly, truly praise with expectation that one day, because you have done those things in Christ and with Christ, he will say with great joy, well done, thou good and faithful servant. There is so much more that you and I can say and share. But just in this short letter, the Holy Spirit guided me to write. God says, heed his warning. God says, wait for his son with expectancy. And while we wait, we work by his grace. And while we work by his grace, we worship him. That's why I believe the Holy Spirit guided me to close this letter you have in your hand with that doxology of praise and worship. Beloved, my heart is heavy. There are times in churches and like South Mountain that things are done not with Christ, not in Christ, but only for him to get. Only doing to control. That's why I believe the greatest doxology is the praise of our lives. And the work that we do is a gift enabled by him that we give to him. Would you join with me in praise and just blessing him like God's servant David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your holy word, the guidance and inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that it's through your word that our faith grows and is built, that it's through your word that we can encourage each other, that it's through your word we learn to love one another as Christ loves the church. Through your word that we have those precious promises, oh Lord, thank you. Help us, enable us to treasure your word in our hearts, that it would come out in our lives for your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.